Welcome to Heaping Spoonful, a twice-monthly conversation with restaurateurs, chefs, growers, and others who have helped generate the legends associated with eateries across the Mid-South. The team at Benny Keith is proud to sponsor this adventure with the goal of preserving the stories that have helped cultivate an amazing food scene across the Mid-South. So kick back and enjoy A Heaping Spoonful.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Heaping Spoonful. I'm Kelly Bass, and it is my pleasure, after decades of writing about the local food scene for Little Rock, Arkansas newspapers and magazines, to be the host of this podcast and just talk about restaurants and the people who make them great. Our goal on Heaping Spoonful is to cast a spotlight on chefs and restaurateurs from across the Mid-South. Today, we are chatting with Blair Wallace and Suzanne Boscarolo of Ciao Bacci, a beloved restaurant in the Hillcrest neighborhood of Little Rock. So welcome to you both.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Glad you are. I appreciate it. You know, it's hard to accurately describe the vibe of a restaurant, but looking at your website, I think this sentence, which is the first thing people see when they visit your website, does a really good job of it. So I'm going to quote, "Nestled in the beautiful Hillcrest neighborhood in Little Rock, Arkansas, Ciao Bacci has been proudly elevating dining, drinking, and relaxing since its inception in 2001. And that just does a great job of summing it up, I think. So right on. So Blair, you worked at this fabulous place for 10 years as a server and a bartender, and then you bought into the operation in July of 2019. So what's your 10-year period that you worked there?
So I started in 2003, I believe it was, and that's kind of where I learned for my love of food and drink. I was younger, and then I just saw what a special place it was. So I stayed, I fell in love with it, and I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the culture of just kind of the service industry and the restaurant industry and getting to know, you know, people that really had the same passions as I did. And it really just, it kind of blossomed. I turned into a bartender. I learned how to bartend there. I kind of learned all of my skill set for the service industry there.
And then at one point, I guess around 2013, if my fabulous math skills are working, you left. And what did you go do in between that and coming back?
Well, so when I left there, so I met my wife at the restaurant. So that always holds a special place in my heart. But she was moving to Hawaii.
Woo!
And so she said, "Would you like to come with me?" And so I mean, who turns that down? Yeah. So I actually left and I moved to Hawaii with her, and I stayed in the service industry. I worked at a local place in Waikiki, and I was there for a couple years. And when we decided to come back home, just to be closer to our family, I thought, okay, maybe I need to get into the corporate world, as they say.
And a real job.
A real job, like they say in the service industry. Right. So I did some time at a couple local magazines, which led me to working at CJRW for selling the state of Arkansas, which was a great experience, but there was something still just pulling me, my heartstrings back to Ciao Bacci. Sure. So,
and for those listening who don't know, CJRW is the largest advertising agency in Arkansas, and has had the Arkansas tourism account for pretty much ever. Right. And that's would be a fun account to work on.
It was.
And Suzanne, what led you to decide to bring in Blair as a partner in the business?
Well, thinking about retiring at one point, we were always kidding about, "Blair, when you come back from Hawaii, you just need to come in and start working and buying in and take over the restaurant." Because I wanted to find someone that has the same mindset as right. I do, that cares for the business. I didn't want to just put it on the auction block and sell it and become a sports bar or something. Yeah. I wanted to keep it the way it was.
Yeah.
And Blair is the perfect match.
Because she's a completely known entity and friend. And
absolutely. And it's been working out just beautifully.
That is great. Yeah. And you knew her heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
And so is Blair coming on relieved some of the duties that you've had in the past, or are you still pretty much right in the middle of it?
Oh, no, absolutely. I do no longer do the late night closings.
Yeah.
I had to do for many years, and that's a blessing, and I can take off a little more often. And it's just worked out.
Yeah,
really it sounds beautiful. Like a, yes,
a transition plan is in the works.
In the works, yeah.
So all of us who have lived through the COVID-19 pandemic will always hold it up as one of the most bizarre lowlights of our lives, and we'll remember that incredible innocence we all had pre-pandemic. You know, and like you had, Blair, in July 2019 when you bought into. To Suzanne's fabulous
Perfect timing, right?
Yeah, I know. About 8 months before y'all had to shut the damn thing down. And, you know, it's been gut-wrenching. I mean, my day job is the CEO of a great museum. And, you know, one week we're laughing about it, and the next week we're closed. Right. And so talk through how you all survived it. I'm sure you pivoted.
Right.
I don't know if you did delivery, but I'm sure you did curbside takeout. And
yeah, so we spent, you know, we were just in the same boat as everyone else. We didn't know what day was going to bring. And, you know, so Susie and Chef and I spent a lot of time just sitting up there when that restaurant was closed and just brainstorming and trying to think of ideas of how can we make this work? What do you think about this idea? What, yes or no, would this work? And we came up with it was really kind of exciting looking back, you know, the things that we thought of. We came up with the hero meal idea, which really has kind of helped us and continues to this day to be, you know, a feature that we offer to feeding frontline workers. We fed firefighters. We fed bus drivers. We fed, I mean, hospital workers, anybody that that we could think of that would, you know, And we just this past week fed 65 meals to UAMS. I mean, so it's still an ongoing thing, and that's kind of one of the things I'm most proud of you know how we just tried to collaborate and you know think of new ideas, and it was difficult at times, but then it was also really rewarding, and you know it's good to kind of look back at some of those memories of us standing in front of hospitals and.
That's all well and good, but obviously the bills have to get paid. So I hope you are able to create meals that brought in revenue as well as the kindness that you.
Sure, yeah, and that was a part of it. We had a lot of people, you know, just friends in the community that were like, "How can we help out?" And so they would call and purchase these hero meals, and then we would cook them and deliver them.
Better.
Yeah. So
well, you have an extremely loyal clientele, and so you know people's heart and soul are in that place, not to the extent that your two are, but. I'm sure that had to be helpful because people are like, I want, you know.
No, it was amazing.
I'm not letting my favorite restaurant go down for the count. Yeah. So I'm sure you knew a whole lot about, obviously you worked there 10 years. You knew the ins and outs of Ciabatti, but have you learned from Susie? If you don't mind me calling her Susie.
I cannot tell you how much I've learned from Suzanne. I mean, or Susie Q as I call her. But there's no way that I could have, you know, done anything without her, and still to this day, I mean, she is just a wealth of, you know, knowledge and just professionalism. And there's so much that, you know, people say, you know, oh, this is going to be a lot of work. And you really have no idea kind of on the back end, or at least I didn't.
She's been my rock. who's done it and done it well for, golly, I guess it's moving in on 40 years, 37 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, I know. I keep looking up wondering, you know, I'm in my 42nd year in the work world. So it's, I tell people, if you just wait around long enough, you will get old. If you're lucky, So Suzanne, we talked about Blair's history a little bit before she came back to Ciabatti, and your history goes way, way back in the Little Rock culinary scene. So will you walk our Heaping Spoonful listeners through your journey? You know, what first brought you to Little Rock and each of the steps that you've taken along the way?
Yeah, I came to Little Rock in 1979. On a visa it was for hotel management visa, and I worked for the very new Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
Before I moved on, and then we opened Chow's downtown in 1985.
Right.
And I run that until Becky took over in 2004. And in 2001, I opened
Ciabatti. Yeah. Right. And, yeah, so that's, I guess, obviously, with the name Chow, it had to be Italian food, or was it not necessary?
Well, it was not. So we had actually, I didn't want to have a Chow, too, because I didn't want to run the same food as downtown. My vision was to open a wine bar with tapas or small bites.
Sure.
It just didn't go off too well because it was a little new to Little Rock.
Right. So,
We ended up bringing more food in and, of course, developed the specialty drinks cocktail list, and our wine list was very successful.
Yeah, well, it's stellar. What about Chow, the first Chow downtown? What was the focus of that menu?
It was totally Italian.
Okay.
It was focused on good Italian home-cooked meals. The lunch crowd was fantastic. And then we were also successful with the at night was when the rep was going or
sure.
the symphony. So that was our...
I used to live... My wife, Ashley, and I lived in the Lafayette Hotel. We used to cut across the parking lot diagonally and go go eat at Chow. And now, of course, they've knocked it down.
I know. It was very
it was a sad.
Sad
day. When
it was a sad day.
But a Chick-fil-A must live on, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I was in a total aside. I was in a meeting of about 40 people one time, and the speaker said, "Has anybody here never been to Chick-fil-A?" And my hand went up. I've never been to Chick-fil-A. And I'm not like, I'm not doing it for any kind of political statement. I just...
Just never been.
Just never have been. I've eaten some catering. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So the cozy and quaint house that is the home to Chow Bocce became available because of, I'm assuming I'm right, because of the tragic death of Andre Simone, who had his Andres there. He was another, you know, there's a lot of tentacles from the old Jacques and Suzanne's, and Andre was one of the stars there. So is that... why that building was available, and is that how you, I mean, you chose it? I imagine you had been there when it was Andre's.
I have been there a few times, yes. And that's correct. It came available. The employees were carrying on the day-in operation of the restaurant, and the building was for sale. So it became available.
Yeah.
And that was a good move.
Yeah, oh no, it's other than parking, which, you know, if you...
the parking.
Welcome to Hillcrest.
Yeah, if you try to go to Kroger's, like, hey, the parking lot's packed and there's nobody in the store.
Right.
They're all at Chow Bocce or the Fountain or Hill Station.
Right.
but anyway, hey, it's a cool neighborhood for sure. You know, Chow Bocce is many things to many people, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, but in looking back at the news coverage of Blair becoming a partner in the restaurant, the point I saw her making was, you know, we're just going to keep the focus on Chef Jeffrey Owen and the great food he creates. He really is one of the best. And I mean, again, everybody likes working with great people, and I'm sure clearly he's a superstar.
Yeah, he really is. I've, you know, known Chef Jeff, as I call him, for, you know, as long as, you know, I've been there. I mean, we used to call him Junior, and you know, at the beginning. And, you know, when I came back from Hawaii, I mean, he just really has grown and blossomed so much. He's just incredible at what he does. He's so smart and he's so creative. And, you know, talking about it, I know before I left to go to Hawaii when I was, you know, still bartending, there was a lot of kind of turned into almost a late night scene.
Yeah.
The food focus was never really lost, but I didn't think it was being, you know, really, you know, as focused on. And when I came back and had some of his dishes, I was just like, man, this is the bread and butter of the place, you know.
Right.
And so my whole goal was just to really kind of continue to really promote him and come have dinner and then stay late and don't just come late for a drink. And, you know, so I think we've been really successful at that.
Yeah.
He's great. He is absolutely, he receives... is one of the best.
And how long has he been there? A long time?
Yeah, he was there early on when Donnie Furneaux worked as a head chef. And then Jeff decided he needed some more education, and he went on and ended up at the Capitol Hotel. Yeah. He always told me, one of these days I'm going to come back and take over Chow Bocce Kitchen. And then he really did. And I said, welcomed him back with open arms.
Yeah, well, again, you know, when you know much about the Little Rock culinary scene, there's a lot of greatness that's rolled through the Capitol Hotel as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's and again, they're touching so many different places, not even just here, but, you know, in Northwest Arkansas now, Matt Bell's in Nashville, and, you know, it's all kinds of great stuff. So, and again, I'm sure to keep him interested and challenged and even his creativity honed, the menu changes seasonally, which really sets Jeff up to utilize what's available. You know, this whole farm to table, that's the way everything used to be. But, you know, then we got to pre-processed and frozen. And now, you know, luckily for all of us who like to go out to eat, he's able to utilize what he has available. Do y'all have any issues with somebody falling in love with something on the menu and then seasons change and it's not there anymore?
Absolutely. Every time we change the menu, somebody's like, where's this? Or where, you know, we'll always have the kind of staples, I think, that people think, you know, the calamari and, you know, the bocce burger and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, people throw a fit sometimes when something goes away. And
come back in a year and it might be back.
Exactly. Never know. But it's fun. It almost challenges our guests to try to, you know, think outside the box and order something new.
Sure, and keeps it, you know, again, variety is fabulous. Well, all right. Well, we thank everybody for listening to this episode of Heaping Spoonful with our guests Blair Wallace and Suzanne Boccarolo of Chowbachi in the Hillcrest neighborhood of Little Rock, Arkansas. So hang on, and we'll be right back.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Heaping Spoonful. We at Benny Keith Foods enjoy talking about the food scene almost as much as we enjoy providing the top quality ingredients that help restaurateurs and chefs across the Mid-South create their magic. Now let's dive even deeper into the culinary world with your host, Kelly Bass.
Hey, welcome back to Heaping Spoonful. I'm Kelly Bass, and we're going to continue our conversation with Blair and Suzanne. Let's now take a look at some of the highlights from the current Winter 2022 menu. We're recording this in early March of 2022. And just either one of you all, or tell me a little bit about them. So, fried Y Mountain mushrooms.
I'll take this one for sure. So, we have a really good relationship. His name's Jess with the Y Mountain mushroom. Are you familiar with Jess? Have you met him?
I have not.
He's a super cool guy. He comes by once a week, and we really love his product. And so, it's just a fried mushroom, but it's great. It's simple. And Chef does this really cool truffle honey mustard that he makes in-house. And he just drizzles it over there. And I think we've got the best fried mushrooms in town.
I'm going to, as I tell almost every guest on Heaping Spoonful, I'm going to come over to Chowbachi. I live close to Chowbachi, so it's easier for me. And try those. And Y Mountain is not terribly far from Little Rock. It's really known a lot for daffodils.
Right.
You know, but yeah, well, great, great produce. The People's Choice Burger, what sets it apart from standard issue burger?
I would take that. We use the best quality beef. Mm. And it's a big patty that chef prepares. It's not pre-made. And it's just cooked to perfection. And then people can add up either bacon or a fried egg. And so it has been very, very popular, and it still is. We cannot take that one off the menu.
No, you can't go wrong with a really top-notch burger, that's for sure. There's whole chains and other restaurants that have been built around it, for sure. Slow-cooked duck and dumplings? Oh, man, that sounds good.
This is very healthy for the winter soul, if you will. Yeah. He's got some gnocchi of course, everything's made in-house. He shreds some duck. It's the sweet potato gnocchi. He uses a little bit of pernod or butter. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, it just melts in your mouth. You can't go wrong with gnocchi in my book either.
Oh, same here. Oh, I adore gnocchi for sure. Excuse me. Smoked beef short ribs.
It's this large, again, another large portion. We know Chef is very Southern in his portions. He likes to just give you a good old plate of food, but it comes over these really beautiful, like, Borzen cheese whipped potatoes. It's got a little bit of crisp on top with some fried onions. And, I mean, it's just a dish you kind of melt into.
Oh, I love short ribs. Sometimes they're just so tender. It's amazing. It's like what pot roast wishes it was.
Yeah.
Sure. And then you have lump crab cakes, which I adore, and you have them blackened. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm not – that might be a chef secret. I'm not quite sure what all is in his seasoning, but it's a labor of love. We see him back – he makes them in-house. Every day we see him back there prepping. And, it's just – great. It comes with a winter vegetable hash and just kind of something to keep your belly warm. But it definitely is a labor of love for sure.
Yeah. And then, again, if you want to find out how great Chef Jeff really is, get his chef's tasting menu. That's five courses. I'm guessing he just decides what he's going to make and out they come.
That's right. And I think it's the best deal in town for a chef's tasting menu. I mean, don't you agree, Suzanne?
Oh, absolutely. And you should come in and taste that. It's fabulous. You get a little taste of what we offer, and it changes every day.
Yeah, and I love just saying, okay, chef, just whip it on me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did that once with Miles James up at James at the Mill. I sat at the bar and he just said, let me just make some stuff for you. I was like, bring it on, buddy. That sounds
That's
great.
How I like to dine as well. No decisions. Yeah. Just bring it to me.
Yeah, right. I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then my favorite on the menu, the opportunity for grateful diners to show their love for the people who prepared that wonderful food. It's the round for the kitchen at $9. Do many people show that love?
You know what, Kelly? Actually, they really do. You know,
I kind of figured.
People always, you know, say, oh, tell chef that, kudos to the chef. But I feel like it gives the guests almost a sense of like being back there with them almost. And I will tell you, when that ticket printer goes off and they see round for the kitchen, they all light up and big grins, and you know they know that they get to that people are out there actually really thinking about them, and you know,
yeah,
wanting to sure participate.
Has that been on the menu for long, or is that fairly new?
It's been for a long time.
Well, good for you. What you should tell more of your colleagues in this business that they need to do the same thing. I mean, the wait staff, hopefully, and you know, I try to stay at about the 25% level, and some people sadly don't.
Right.
And I've gone back and just thrown a $10 bill at the kitchen, and they act like they've never seen that before. So, and you know,
yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing that food to me, but thank you even more for cooking that food yes for me. So good for you.
Yeah.
You know, your hours on your website, and I'm sure anywhere else, are listed as 4 p.m. until quote unquote late. And we've talked about this before. Suzanne, you're like, I don't have to stay up there till very late. And Blair, you talked about it being kind of a scene, a late night scene. And I know people whose first thought about Chabachi is it is a great place to get a drink a little bit later at night and visit with friends. I would also think pretty nice to have two, and they may be somewhat blended, but two distinct crowds because they keep writing, you know, they keep
right
pulling their credit card out.
Yep. It's really interesting. That is something that I think that kind of sets Chabachi apart, because we, you know, get a lot of people from other restaurants that will, when they're done with their shift, will come and, you know, talk shop up with us. And yeah. So it's kind of, it's really neat to get to see them, you know, and hear their stories from their evening. But then also just kind of some of the younger crowd that like to stay out later. You know, we're happy to give them a great drink. And
And so you all just gauge closing time based on how the business?
Just volume.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course, you know, we're not ever going to ask anybody to leave unless, you know, but yeah, I mean, if we've got 15, 20 people in there enjoying themselves, we'll stay up there and enjoy it with them.
And what's the, I mean, I guess by law, you have to close it at 2?
Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes you're there till 2?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not anymore.
I'm not anymore, you. But I did many times.
I love it.
But I think the really great thing is we have diners that come in 4 or 5 o'clock. They raise their kids. They still come, and now their kids are of age.
Yeah.
And they come back.
Oh, that's great.
And so the parents usually say, oh, it's time for us to go home because the kids will show up pretty soon.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
That is fun.
Well, when you've been open that long, you're going to see the multi-generational thing for sure. But you talked about this earlier, Suzanne, that you all, when you conceptualized Chabachi, you thought about a wine bar and with tapas and things, but you've taken your wine list and your cocktails more seriously earlier on than almost any place. It's kind of, you know, hip signature cocktails and craft cocktails are hip now. But you've always done that, and I'm sure that's really paid off. So that pretty much has been there since the start, right?
It has been since the start, and I also brought in my love for half bottles of wine.
I was going to say
that. And it has worked out really well, and the distributors had looked at me a little bit funny in the beginning. They didn't believe so much in that, but coming from Europe, I always had half bottles there. So you don't need to drink, or your friend wants white wine. I want red wine. So you can have 2.5 glasses of perfect fresh wine. And
I'm trying to remember what the Chardonnay that I got last time in a half bottle at Chabachi, but it was one of my favorites, and I was so happy to see it in a half bottle. So anyway, no, that is great. Just like Jeff is in charge of what comes out of the kitchen, is there a single person on staff who's like, I'm the drink person, or is that kind of a group effort?
Well, so of course I'm in kind of charge of the front of house and the beverage program, but it's not, there's not one person. We've got 3 people that kind of rotate and bartend, and we're just a big team. I mean, we collaborate. If somebody is a big rum drinker and they say, hey, like, what do y'all think about this? I mean, we're open to all kinds of ideas and So I wouldn't say that there's just one person that's like,
right,
this is my drink program and this is how it's going to be run.
So. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Because in the same type thing, I'm happy to go to a bartender I trust and just go, I like dark rum.
Right.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
And like it when I get it. Well, listen, I thank you all so much for dropping by the Heaping Spoonful Studios here at Benny Keith Mid-South Division, and continued success. I know it's going to keep coming for Chowbachi. Fabulous, fabulous place in the Hillcrest neighborhood of Little Rock, Arkansas. And thanks to all of you out there for listening to this episode of Heaping Spoonful. We release them the first and third Tuesday of each month. So check out the ones you've missed and keep an eye out, ear and eye out for new ones. So goodbye, everybody. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Heaping Spoonful. On behalf of all of us at Benny Keith Foods, Mid-South Division, please know how much we love connecting you with the legends of the culinary scene and their unique stories. I look forward to the next time we can offer you another Heaping Spoonful.